that's one of my favorites. You know, this week, I was looking through God's Word. And as I was kind of standing there thinking about it, there's several things about God's Word that kind of stand out to me. The first thing about God's Word that stands out to me is God's unconditional, sacrificial, selfless love and grace. That's the first thing that stands out to me. And as long as I live, no matter how much I search the Scripture, no matter how much I live, I don't think I'm ever going to fully grasp that concept. It's pretty awesome. Second thing that stands out to me is the overwhelming amount of biblical examples of people who blew it. When you look through Genesis, all the way through even in Revelation, there are people who mess up. There are people who blow it. Of the people who there's good amounts that are written about them in Scripture, there are only three people who have no sin recorded about them. There is Enoch and Daniel. Both did sin, but there's just nothing recorded about that in Scripture. And Jesus, he is the only one who is truly perfect that has ever walked this face of the earth. So that means, according to the 3,237 people listed in the Bible, that's according to the Biographical Bible, there are a lot of examples of individuals who have blown it. Individuals who have messed up. Individuals who have gotten entangled in sin for one way or another. Now, I don't believe that that is a fluke. I don't think that that's just a coincidence that that happens. I think that is given to us for a specific purpose. These biblical examples, they are incredibly relatable. Well, at least to me, I can identify with these people. All of us, we have moments like Adam and Eve. Times in our lives where we deliberately rebel against God. We have moments in our life like Moses. Times in our life where we react out of frustration and unjust anger. Times like David. Times in our life where we let down our guard and compromise our integrity to the deceitful allure of sin. There's times like Jonah. Times in our life where we try to just run from God. Times like Peter. Times in our life where we speak before we think. And the list goes on and on and on in the Bible of these biblical examples. But the point to it all is this. We can identify with these sinful people. We can have the best motives in life, but at the end of the day, as it says in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Isaiah 64:6, "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." I've mentioned this before, but God's Word, it does two things predominantly. Primarily, there's two things that God's Word does. The first thing that God's Word does is it reveals you for who you are. It's going to show you for that natural man. You're going to see yourself exactly as you are. You see things like James 1:23-25. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." It's kind of echoed or maybe even summarized in Proverbs 27:19. It says there, "As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man." Simply put, what we see is what we get. That's what the Bible reveals to us. The Bible, it will reveal you for exactly who you are. all the wrinkles, all the warts, all the blemishes. And there is no amount of makeup or anything that can conceal who you are in the revealing light of the Bible. That's incredibly important. And the reason that this is incredibly important is because of passages like Jeremiah 17:9. It says there, "The heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Basically, what this is saying is each and every one of us, we are perverse. And we don't even begin to understand, we don't even begin to know how perverse we really are. The word deceitful, it has some meanings. It means sly, slippery, crooked, or polluted. In other words, we're screwballs. And the Bible reveals just that. But here's the cool thing about the Bible. I said it does two things. It does very much reveal who we are. But it doesn't leave us with just a stated problem. The Bible also does the second thing. It reveals God as He is. And it tells what He's done for us, what He's done on our behalf. And that's awesome. You think about passages like 1 John 1:5. "This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." 2 Peter 3:9, it says this, "The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." John 3:16 and 17, very familiar. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him." As you can see, and this really isn't even beginning to scratch the surface of who God is and what He's done on our behalf, but summarizing it, God is blemished. He is blameless. There is no blemish in Him. God is perfect. And in spite of us, God desires each of us. When we blow it, God wants us to repent and come back to Him. And here's the thing. God has provided us a way to do this. He's provided us the way, the only way to do that. And that way, and that's the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus, His sacrificial death, in His glorious resurrection, it offers us forgiveness of past, present, and future sins. That natural man that the Bible, it reveals us to be, when we enter a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's not how we're defined. We are a blood-bought child of King. And God views our sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Psalm 103:12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Micah 7:18-19. "Who is a God like you, who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain His anger forever, because He delights in unchanging love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." So, as you read these passages, when we confess our sins to God, God's faithful to forgive us of our sins. Our record, you could say it's expunged. God, He cleanses us of all unrighteousness. At that moment that we ask for it, we are made clean. God removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. Basically, our sins are removed to a place that doesn't even exist. God will have compassion on us. He's going to have mercy on us. He will withhold the punishment that we deserve. He'll tread our iniquities underfoot. Now, literally, what that phrase means is God, He subdues our sins. God literally forces our sins to remain under His foot. And He casts all our sins into the depths of the sea. The word cast, it means to throw out or throw away. They are not held against us anymore. Now, what I just shared with you is probably the world's longest opener for a sermon on the face of the earth. That being said, today we are going to look at one specific question, and that question is, what do you do when you have won? Today's sermon title, Now What? Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you that there are chances that go beyond us, Lord, that you are a good, gracious God. You love us so desperately, Lord. You sent your Son for us, Lord, and that even now, as sinful humans, you draw us to yourself. Lord, you don't just clean us up, Lord, you give us a new man. You change us from the inside out. Thank you for that. God, I pray today that today's message would be powerful. Lord, that you would use it in our lives. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in mine, and I just commit it into your hands. I pray this in your name. Amen. Psalm 51. This passage, we talked about it in the past, we're circling back up on it. This chapter, it is such a raw chapter. It reveals King David's heart. King David, you've got to understand the context that this is written in. King David, he had been confronted by Nathan the prophet about a sin that he had committed. And if you want to go back and you want to look at what this confrontation was all about, you can see that in 2 Samuel 12. That's where that confrontation is recorded. Today we're just going to look at David's response to that. So, here are five keys to how we should handle things after we've blown it, according to Psalm 51. First thing, we need to be honest with God. In Psalm 51:4, it says there, "Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge." It is so important to have an open dialogue with God. In Sunday school, we started to scratch the idea of prayer. And really some of what this is, this open communication with God. The thing about God is He knows everything about us already. There is no secrets when it comes to Him. So, to me, that seems to be absolutely foolish that sometimes maybe we try to conceal things from Him. We try to keep some stuff kind of hidden. He sees it anyways. That's just foolishness. Would you be willing today to say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart"? That's a powerful thing to pray. Lord, look at me. All of my internal organs, Lord. Search my heart and know me. Pray that. It's a powerful prayer. Number one, be honest with God. Number two, ask God for forgiveness. The first two verses in Psalm 51. "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to your greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." David, he had messed up. And David, He had been confronted about some absolutely horrible sins in his life. And David, he asked God, Lord, be gracious to me. He asked God, Lord, give me unmerited favor, things I don't deserve. We lose some of this in the original language. It says some awesome stuff, but we lose it in our English. In the language, in the Greek, the Hebrew that it's written in, the three words, there's transgressions, there's iniquity, and sin. These are what they mean. Transgressions. Rebellion or deliberate revolting. Iniquity. Perverse evil, depravity. Sin. Anything. Even the unknown things that happen to miss the mark of perfection. So, if I had to boil this down and maybe put it into my own words, what that means, David was asking God to remove his outright rebellious actions. He was asking God to wash him from his depraved and evil perversions. And David was asking God to clean him from all of the other areas where he missed the mark of perfection, even the ones that he wasn't aware of. As I read that, all of that, you know, that covers every single base. Basically, David is saying to God, God, forgive me of anything and everything that's unclean. Lord, I confess it. Lord, I need you every hour. Change me. He's asking for forgiveness of anything and everything that's unclean. Third thing, take complete ownership. Third thing, take complete ownership. In Psalm 51, 3 through 5. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. David, he takes complete ownership. David, he acknowledges that he's missed it. David sinned. And ultimately, who he sinned against, it was directly against God. Sure, there are consequences of sin that were going to affect other people. Sure, there might have been other people who had been wronged along the way. But the ultimate violation that David did, it was done against God. The same is true for us. When we sin, it's ultimately against God. And that is the absolute most egregious offense that any one of us could ever do at any point in our life. So we need to be honest with God. We need to ask God for forgiveness, and we need to take complete ownership. Number four, we need to let God work and restore your joy. In Psalm 51, 6 through 12, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. When you ask God for forgiveness, I want you to know God will forgive you. God, he does all the work to that forgiveness. He's the one who does all the heavy lifting. Yet once the forgiveness is given, we have to allow God to restore our joy. You are not defined by your failures. You look at passages like 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. Such were some of you. Now you're forgiven. Now you've been washed and you are clean thanks to Jesus Christ. He changes everything. Now if you're like me, you can acknowledge that God forgives. You get this concept perhaps intellectually. However, maybe you're here today and you're still beating yourself up for stuff. I want you to realize God's standard of forgiveness, that is sufficient. There's nothing that you need to add to it. There's nothing that you can do that goes beyond God's standard of forgiveness. It is finished. You don't need to keep beating yourself up for things that you have been forgiven for. There might be consequences. Now, this is a very important point. There might be consequences for sin, but that is very different than God forgiving you of your sins. I'm going to say that one more time because that's very important to understand. There might be consequences for sin. There might be difficulties that we face because of sin that we've been involved in. But that is different than God forgiving you of your sin. Number five, last one. Commit to using it for God's glory. Psalm 51, as we finish off that chapter, it says this: "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar." None of us can roll back the clocks. We can't turn back time and try to do something over again. There are no undos in our life. I've said it this way: we cannot unring a bell. We cannot change the past. However, we can take every opportunity that comes across our way, to learn from the past and not make that same mistake again. I believe the definition of insanity is to do the same thing but expect a different result. Sometimes we do that with our sin. To learn from our past and not make the same mistake again. To use the past, and as God gives opportunity, help others. Connect with others. Use those things that you have gone through, those life experiences, even the wicked ones, even the sinful ones. Use those as the Lord sees fit. And lastly, to respond to the past in humility and to give glory to God in all things. I am constantly in awe of God, how God, He takes screw-ups like us and He changes us. And then, somehow, some way, He's able to, and He wants to, use us. If that is not evidence of an all-powerful, all-loving, all-sufficient Savior, I don't know what is. Praise the Lord, failure is not final. There is hope and forgiveness at the feet of Jesus. So what? As we kind of wrap all this up and we bring it all home, David, he blew it. David, he had messed up. Nathan the prophet, he comes to David and he reveals David's sin. And then, as we look at it, what does David do next? On the heels of this, David, he writes Psalm 51. And in this, it's a heartfelt letter. It's a heartfelt message where he reveals, number one, he starts being honest with God. Number two, he asks God for forgiveness. Number three, David, he took complete ownership. Number four, David let God work and restore David's joy. And number five, David, he committed to using it for God's glory. I read this verse early on in that really long, never-ending opening. I'm going to read it again. It's 1 John 1:9. It says there, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, title of the sermon, here's the nuts and bolts of it. Now what? If you are aware of anything that is standing between you and God right now, please do not leave today without taking the time to get it right. And then secondly, when you're confronted, and we all go through this time, there will be times in our life where we are confronted. When we are, and we are found to be in the wrong, would you be willing to be honest? Would you be willing to own it? Would you be willing to ask God for forgiveness? Let God work in your life and commit to using it for His glory and His honor. I pray, this is my prayer for myself, and it's my prayer for each and every one of us, that that would be true for us today, that would be true for us the next day, and that would be true for us until Jesus returns. That's correct.